This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
You're going to come out of that jail and you'll be looking back and go, what on earth was I worried about? What was I leaving behind? Nothing. And you've got so much to gain. And you're not going to find out who you are yet. It takes a while and it changes all the time. You find out more and more and more. You know, just stick with it. Patient, small, small steps. You know, no instant gratification. Just plod along and it happens, you know. And stay with the community. Connection is one of the biggest things you can get.
That is Andy Garwood, who is coming up for 7 years alcohol-free. Andy is from Essex. And if you're thinking, I've heard that voice before, all right, I recognise this guy. Andy joined us on the podcast. It was nearly 3 years ago. So if you want to hear more about Andy's personal story, about why he stopped drinking, how he did it, go back and take a listen to that episode. I think it was in June 2022. This week, returning guest on OTI, wow, he's got so much to share. He talks about patience, about sticking with it, about how these magical changes don't happen overnight. It takes grit, determination, and bucketfuls of patience. Andy's got so much to share. It's brilliant to have him back on the podcast. So let's get into the episode.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Laura from North Wales. I've been sober curious for a few years as my drinking was creeping in more and more and just becoming too much of a bad habit. I'd tried to moderate, but that just seemed to cause too much stress, so I decided to take a break. I found the OTI podcast in my first week and I loved it. Ben and Shaz just seemed so normal and down to earth and had fun with the guests and sang about the joys of sobriety that I just thought I'd really give alcohol-free life a proper go. So I binged the back catalogue in the first 3 months and then I bravely took the plunge and joined the community, which was a bit nerve-wracking, but it definitely was the best thing I've ever done. The community is really supportive and welcoming and the Zooms are a total game changer and it's just nice making new friendships with like-minded people. It's definitely worth its weight in gold. I'm now nearly 8 months alcohol free and I can honestly say I don't think I'd have got this far without OTI. So if you're sober curious or thinking about going alcohol free, I'd highly recommend giving OTI a go because you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So just give it a try.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It's fabulous to have you listening. Not sure when you're going to hear this episode. It could well be while you're still doing dry January, or you might be loving it that much. You've carried on. You might be listening to this in February. Whenever, it doesn't matter. Stick with it. It's really quite good, this whole sobriety lark. If you are maybe finding us for the first time, let me introduce who I am. My name is Sharon Hartley. 51 years old, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. 6 and a bit years now, alcohol free. It's ace. And I always get dead excited when I get to introduce you to somebody on this podcast that has been there since the start. And I am talking 21 days in, today's guest first met me, and it's been quite the ride for both of us. More from the guest in just a sec. Have I told you everything about me that I need to? I think so. Drank too fast, too quickly, far too often, decided to take a break, and here we are heading into my 7th year of actual sobriety. It's just really good, and so is this podcast, because I get to chat to Ben Anderson week in, week out, wanging on about the joys of sobriety. Young Ben, how are you doing?
Young Ben, hello.
Young Ben.
I'm Young Ben. I'm 36, so, you know.
Youngish, younger than me.
Youngish Ben. I live in Liverpool. I am dad to Leo, stepdad to Alfie and Millie. I'm married to Jem. I'm 5 years alcohol-free in July. And I reluctantly gave up alcohol because I had a three-month break after overdoing it in the first UK lockdown. I went, right, 3 months off, got to the end of 3 months and went, oh, I'm feeling better. I'm going to make it six. Got to six and went, oh, how great would it be to say I did a whole 12 months, a whole year without alcohol. So I pushed on and I got 12 months under my belt. And on day 366, I went, oh God, I'm going to have to do this for good. I looked at my year and everything had gone better. I felt better. My relationships had improved. I dropped weight. It's just, all these good things had happened. And I reluctantly went, this is a good choice for me. And yeah, I'll be rolling over 5 years in July. Can't believe
Amazing.
It.
Amazing. Amazing. Some might say, Ben, that it's the life-changing magic of quitting alcohol.
Stop
drinking and start living. I mean, you know, just to get that in there.
Andy, I'm sure you know, Andy, our fabulous guest today, who Shaz will do the big intro for in a second. I'm sure you know that Sharon's got a book out because anyone in the alcohol-free space knows that Sharon's got a book out because they've been text, emailed, WhatsApped, Instagram messaged many
Pretty
a time.
Much. Everybody, anybody, please buy it. Right, enough. That's our introductions. And as always, thank you so much for listening. It gives us mega pleasure this week to welcome back to Over the Influence, Andy Garwood from Essex. Andy is coming up for 7 years alcohol-free. And Andy, it blows my mind to think we're chatting now and Over the Influence, this podcast that has been going 5 years, and we met in September 2018 and I was 3 weeks alcohol-free. And here we are now, still friends together after all this time. Andy, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. Humbled to be on here. Happy New Year to you both. I don't know when we stopped saying that, but probably around now, I suppose. It's great to be back and thank you very much.
The last time you were on the podcast, it was 2022. And actually,
June 2022.
Was it June?
Breaking the Habit. I've just got it up on my app. Yeah, just to double check. That's a long time ago.
It is.
3 years. Nearly 3 years ago. Andy, where do we start? How's life? What's been going on in those last 3 years?
Well, a lot of stuff. You know, I'm in my 60th year on this planet now. So I'm 60 in September. Was I going to every space camp? Or had I done Kilimanjaro? I think I'd try and kill him.
You'd done Kilimanjaro.
Oh, yeah. So I went to every space camp about 2 years ago, which was very spiritual and sort of, you know, when I started this journey, I thought, you know, meditation was for guys with bald heads and orange robes. And, you know, slowly some of these habits have caught on. So it's quite a spiritual journey, tough journey to Everest Base Camp. I come back in May 23. Big story there was I'd organized it and it was sort of alcohol free ball. Three people from around the world in our different communities we're in. Great trek. And on the way back, was with a running coach. And she said, why don't you run anymore? Because I see you did a triathlon for your 365 challenge, which was only a 5 mile run. And I said, well, I just kept getting injured. She said, well, you was running all wrong. We talked through it. She said, why don't you do couch to 5K with me? So in May 23, I started couch to 5K. I did 7 weeks of walk, run for 7 weeks. I did my first, bearing in mind, she said, what is your goal? And I said, my goal is maybe if I could run 10 miles without being injured. So out to 5K, I did my first park run in July 23, my first 10K in November 23. I did my first half marathon in March 24, and I did my first marathon last year in October in Amsterdam. So when you think you've gone flat, when you think you've done everything, you know, alcohol free, stop giving, it just keeps on giving. You keep doing this new stuff all the time, and that's taken up. I've become a runner. I think I can say I'm a runner now after all these years. It's just been an amazing couple of years. It really has.
Wow.
You
and
look,
you know,
great,
what, Andy? Doesn't it? Ben, yeah, you just took the words out of my mouth. You are glowing. You look so well, Andy.
I feel it. You know, I must admit, I'm not one to self-praise and I'm always like, yes, things are. I actually feel life is really good. I think, you know, the big thing with this journey is I think it's not easy, but the easier side is getting sober, really. It's staying sober, you know. We can all rack up 7, 14, 28 days, yeah, 50 days, bit of willpower, bit of accountability, but to actually live a life that you love, you know, and you don't miss anything, you know. I know AA is for different people, but to stand up all your life and say, I'm an alcoholic, I'm Andy, when you're not now, you know, I'm 7 years alcohol free. I'm not missing anything. And nor are you guys. You can tell anyone that it's a beautiful life that we live. A life that the only regret I've got is I only found it at 52 years old, which is why I sing it from the rooftops. If I help one person today coming on here, it's done its job. And that's all I can say.
So you're 60 now, Andy.
60 in September, yeah.
60 in September. Okay, so approaching 60. Let's be objective about it. When was the last time that you were this fit then?
When I was about 10, I think.
Really?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, literally, I played a bit of school football and maybe at work till I was 22, 23. I started drinking at an early age. I played a bit of racquetball and squash through the years. Never to a decent standard. And then from 40 to 50 was a big downhill to me. I just put on another 3 stone-ish, you know, every 3 years I put on a stone. And now, probably when I last spoke, I'd lost, you know, I got to, by just removing alcohol, I'd lost sort of 4 stone. That's probably where I was last time I was on here. Now, since I've started running and doing other stuff, I've lost another 10 kilos, another stone. I'm 77 pounds lighter than when I started this journey. That's like 11 babies wrapped around me. I've lost 35 kilos, 77 pounds. And, you know, it's just happened. You know, I haven't tried to lose any more weight. It's just finding more about myself, finding more about nutrition and when to eat, and it's just grown on me. You know, this wellness journey and this self-development journey is, I'm not giving anything up. It's, nothing's tough. It's just happening. You know, I'm amazed myself. I really am.
You don't meet many people, do you, who say the fittest I've been in my adult life is as I approach 60. That's 100%. Amazing, Andy.
100%. You know, my resting heartbeat is 44. I was with a sauna with a load of guys yesterday and they started chatting to me and I was just amazed, you know, youngsters in their 30s. What is it? And I showed them on my watch, look, 44 resting heartbeat, da, da, da. It's like, I said, it was 70 when I stopped drinking. My resting heartbeat was 70, you know, I was 17 stone, you know, and it's just all happened through removing one thing from my life.
It's a slow process though, isn't it? You know, to go from where we both were, you know, thinking back to September in 2018 and fast forward to where we are now, you know, and I include Ben in this and anybody else on this alcohol-free journey, this adventure, it doesn't happen overnight, does it? It's those small wins along the way. And it was really interesting what you said, you know, it's you can stop drinking, but it's staying stopped, isn't it? And then replacing the alcohol with whatever it is that floats your boat. But, you know, I think a lot of people, particularly in the early days, you know, if somebody's listening to this, maybe they have done their first dry month for a very, very long time. In some ways, you sort of expect miracles overnight, don't you? And yeah, there are obviously, you know, the instant improvements in many different areas, but the bigger stuff, the bigger changes, I just think it takes patience, doesn't it? And it takes a lot of work as well.
Certainly. I mean, one of the things that, you know, I coach people, as you know, and one of the things you find is the reason people don't carry on with it or they think they can moderate and be okay is they want instant gratification. You know, they want to sleep better after 7 days. They want to lose a stone in the first month. You know, they want to be running PBs and it's a slow, slow process. You know, you've got to have your powerful whys, but they take so much time, you know. And your whys and your goals and your purpose in life changes throughout life, but certainly giving up alcohol, what I thought was my purpose in life, you know, I was a dad, I was a business owner, I was a son. These things change all the time now as well. And, you know, through midlife, which I do a lot, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself, but after about 2 years, yeah, I probably went a bit flat. You know, oh, I've got to where I am now. I've lost 4 stone. I've done this. My business is going all right. And then you know, maybe a flat year and a bit. And now it's just, it's really gone now. The last 2 years has gone exponential. Unfortunately, I've split up with my wife, but it was all for the best. We was living together and it wasn't right. The children are better off. They're smashing school. The whole family is better. We're still best friends. And it was, you know, even that was being brave enough to do it, because I don't think I would have done it, you know, if I was still drinking. All these amazing things have happened, you know. And it's better for anyone. I don't know anyone who's not better off for me not drinking. You know, I bought my business partner out. I've changed my business. I used to work, sit in this desk here. I worked 5 days a week in my business. I was literally firefighting every day. I didn't know where I was, full of anxiety. Now I work 2 days on my business. And I'm earning the same money. It allows me to do these other beautiful things, like help other people and go on my walks and, you know, choose his doggy daycare. I've been for a lovely walk with my dog. It's, you know, it gives you this time back. I mean, so much time as well. I mean, obviously we get that through the clarity of our thought, but, you know, the times you spend, how long did you spend at the bar? You know, I can remember you telling me the story, Shaz, in the pub in your village and being the last one there. And, you know, how many Sunday afternoons did we spend 3 or 4 hours just talking shite?
And it's just an absolute waste of time. Looking back, you know, because hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But while you're in it and while you're living it and you're thinking it's the be-all and end-all, it's the best way to spend your time. But actually, with hindsight, once it's removed, you realise that it's just a waste of time. But you do get it all back, don't you?
Of course, yeah. And you know, now you find there's not enough time in the week. You know, all the things you want to do, I bet you guys find the same. There's not enough time to do all the things you wanted to do. How the fuck did you spend, you know, 15 hours a week, 20 hours a week sitting at a bar? It's just like, I wish I could get another 20 hours a week now. You know, that's so much I want to do. I know life passes us by and it you know, we realise how much time we might have left, which none of us know. But, you know, you don't want to spend it doing that. You really don't. And, you know, people don't believe you until they get to this magic. Well, I still say this magical 60 to 100 days when the magic happens. And then they start saying, hold on a minute, this might be quite a good life, you know.
Yeah. It's really interesting listening to you speak, Andy, because, you know, is this the problem? You know, to paraphrase what you said, to live a life that you love, you're not giving anything up. Is the problem that society thinks about stopping something when you remove alcohol, whereas actually we should be thinking about starting something?
Yeah, exactly. Building these small, like Shaz says, these small positive habits, you know. If you want to, let's say, for example, run a marathon in a year or two's time, build the small positive habits, like running 100 yards every morning or whatever it is, small positive habits. They become like cleaning your teeth. I mean, mine have changed all over the time, but now I get up. I think the minimum I can do it is about 33 minutes, and that's get up, that's coffee, journal, breath work, and I'm into the cold showers now, which I never was. It might all change, but at the moment that works for me. It's sometimes longer than that. If I have longer, I can journal a bit longer. But building these small positive habits, and I'm still working on myself now, still finding out about myself. None of us, no, I've drunk since 15. So in other words, in my adult life, I never, ever knew my authentic self, because I was always under the fog of alcohol. It's probably took me 3 or 4 years to really dig deep and, you know, talk about stripping away the layers of an onion, finding who you really are. And that's what this life's about, you know, this personal development journey I keep going on about. It's not like development into like some rock star or sports star, but just for yourself to find out who you really are, where you want to go, and how you're going to get there. And that's what I've gone through with people. That's what I've gone through with myself and my coaching. And, you know, you cultivate this purpose in life. What, you know, we're all here for a reason, whether it's a mum, a dad, to do a beautiful podcast like this and help other people. You know, what a purpose that, you know, how purposeful is that, you know? And when I get an email from someone or an Instagram message saying, you know, I've followed you for a year I've just got to a year, you've been a, it's nothing more beautiful than that, to think that's your purpose in life, to try and give back that little bit. And that is, at the moment, one of my main purposes in life. I love it. There's nothing better than giving back. And obviously our great mentor, Andy Ramos, you must get thousands of them. Imagine how beautiful that is. You know, talk about change the world, but we're not out there to sell it to anyone, but the ones who want to get off the hamster wheel and want help, you know, that's what we're here for.
What's that process been like of discovering exactly who you are in your mid-50s, having been a drinker all through your adult life?
Really tough, I suppose, because I'm a completely different person. I've got two older boys who are 32 and 27. My two younger ones have just turned 16 and 10. They was my big whys when I had that epiphany, when I didn't even think I was going to stop drinking, and I had been on a bend at the weekend. I looked in the mirror on a Monday and I see my six-year-old and I thought, he deserves better. And then I thought, I deserve better. And I literally looked myself in the eyes in the mirror for about 30 seconds and I thought, I need to stop for a while. I've done a few dry Januaries. I said I've drunk for 35 years, but I've done a few dry Januaries purely on willpower. We'll know it's like a muscle. Yeah, it's like doing press-ups. It's going to give out 30 days or more. You've got to build in these positive habits. And I see my son, and I signed up for what was a 90-day challenge then, and that's all I was signing up for. And here I am nearly 7 years later. I was groomed into this. I never wanted to be alcohol-free, and here I am. And it's been, you know, certain self-development courses I've done as groups with people. I've just done another one last year, cultivating purpose in midlife. This midlife is where the majority of people like us, you know, I've coached a 22-year-old, but look, the majority of people are this, we call it a midlife bracket. It can be 35 to 70, but really like 40 to 50, 40 to 55. And this midlife stuff, it's, you know, it hasn't got to be a crisis. We say it's a chrysalis. It's this beautiful time where we, and I think that's what happened from year two to four, where I sort of went a bit flat. You go into this chrysalis stage. It's like you go into this gooey, horrible thing, and then this butterfly emerges to, you know, you find out about yourself. It was almost like, what's next? What do I do next? You know, we're all guided through, you know, with our children, we guide them through adolescence, ready to leave the nest, but no one guides us through middle adolescence. You know, it's this time that you're going to change relationships. You might not want to be in that job anymore. You've done it all that time. You know, you're thinking about retirement, thinking about all these things in midlife. You know, your main purpose in life, your big P, was being a mum or a dad, and the kids are gone. What do I do now? You know, this is when, you know, all about this mummy wine o'clock and gin o'clock and all this stuff. This is when all these things can happen like that. You know, and this cultivating purpose in midlife is really what drives me. I'd love to develop this, and I'm slowly building up what I do in the alcohol-free world and helping others, and taking down what I do in the building company. And that's, I see that at the moment as my guiding purpose in life, my big P. You know, I'm still a dad, but for outside of those normal roles, that is what I'd like to do and a legacy I'd like to leave. And, you know, I think I'm sort of being that lighthouse for a lot of people. I just love it. But it's tough. You go deep. You know, I've tried all different things. I've done breath work stuff. I've journaled a lot. I've been on courses, but it's nothing nasty about it. You know, I'm not with any work we do, we don't go back looking for traumas and this is why you drink because your dad beat you up when you was young. It's about looking forward and finding out who you really are. But it's tough, yeah, and it changes, and your purpose will change all through life. Of course it does, you know.
It's really interesting listening to you speak, because I keep picking up on a word that you keep using, Andy, which is slowly. You know, slowly this, slowly the changes, slowly yeah. This happens. And we're not used to that, are we? You said it at the beginning, you know, we're in this culture of instant gratification. You do this, you get this, you know, we'll yeah. sell you this and it'll get you there quicker. You know, we're so used to that now, aren't we? Slowly, when you talk about kind of these small habits and then, you know, building positive habits. I had an interesting day today. I'm sitting here now, absolutely knackered, Andy. And yes, I've had a busy day. And yes, you come back and you're immediately with the kids and, you know, you're on the go, on the go, on the go. But it's because I've decided this year, I've started to every single day, if I'm left to it, Andy, like my natural instinct is to open the laptop and start working. And I know that's so sad to say out loud, but it is, you know, so I have to force myself. I was doing it in the morning. I'd wake up, I'd go downstairs, make a coffee, open the laptop straight away. So I forced myself every day this year so far to first thing I do is go out and walk. I just get out, not for long, just half an hour round the block. And I'm back in time for Gem to leave for work. So it's, you know, I leave at six. I'm back by half six, half an hour, same route every day. This morning, I didn't do it. And oh my God, I have felt all day just lethargic and grumpy. And the only thing I've changed today is I didn't do that new positive small habit. And I think it's really good because I've noticed it. You know, I've noticed the difference when I haven't done this thing today, and that kind of self-awareness. You know, how important do you think that is? The time to, you know, if these things happen slowly and you're not necessarily getting that ping to your phone that says you've just achieved this and you've just hit this milestone and this inbox says this and da-da-da, you know, that, how important is self-awareness as part of all of this if it is a slow process?
Well, of course. I mean, 100%, you notice all those small things. We didn't notice anything before, but now you notice, you know, even the fact of if you've binged on the kids' sugar, you know, sweets the night before, all these things just glossed over because you was drinking all the time. You notice the smallest things, like you say, a habit you've built in, a positive habit. You've missed that this morning, you know. That is your probably time on your own. Whether you listen to a podcast or walk on your own with your own thoughts, listen to the birds, whatever it is, that's your little time of your time. And I always say to everyone, you know, but self-care isn't selfish. I mean, if that's your time for half an hour in the morning, if you don't fill up your cup, you can't fill up anyone else's. And, you know, it's the old adage of, and it put your oxygen mask on first before you put the kids on. And that's your time. You, if you don't do that, like you say, you're grumpy, you're lethargic, and you've got to do that. And you become so self-aware of everything. You really do. And I think spending time on your own like that, you know, times of solitude when we look within, and I don't mean going on some retreat for 36 hours of silent retreat. I mean just journaling, meditating, walking. I mean, my beautiful times, what I found this year, which was completely new to me, was, you know, in the height of my marathon training, 3-hour runs around the trails, going out in the summer at 5 in the morning, no phone, no one could get hold of me, whatever happened. 3 hours. Sometimes they talk about being in flow, don't they, when time passes by, and you don't, I'd be like on 6 miles, the next now I'm on 12. Where's the last 6 miles gone? Because you're just within, just with your own thoughts. And you find a lot of people, a big red flag, especially when you've been drinking, is you can't spend time on your own. You know, it's a big red flag. You're on the phone, you're texting, you're on Instagram, whatever it is. Spend time on your own. And the answers, you know, about self-awareness and finding yourself, the answers are within. They're within you. They're not on Instagram. We wake up in the morning, we pick up our phone, loads of people. They're looking for, they're taking in information all the time. You know, your mind's scrambled before you even look. Oh, look, if I did that before I went to bed, I would have slept better. Well, I should eat that now when I get up. I should do this. All this information. And most of the information you've got is within you. How you're feeling. You can work a lot of stuff out for yourself, you know. You can look for clues when you realise you want to do something, but so much there for being actually self-aware is a great word. You can sit and become self-aware of yourself. I say to anyone who wants to give up drinking, seriously, if you stop and look at yourself in the mirror for a couple of minutes, that's a bloody long time, you see right through your eyes, you see what's going on, you think, enough's enough, you know. That's what I did. You know, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I really was. And that's what stopped it for me. One day, the doctor might have said, you know, Andy, you've got to stop drinking. Else your time's up. But I didn't get to that rock bottom. You know, like most of us, we've done it on our own back and on our own terms. We haven't been told to. We haven't smashed a car up or the doctor said, you've got to stop. we've done it on our own terms, because when we must have been aware a little bit then, but when you're alcohol free, you become so aware of your emotions, you really feel things, you know. And I think with this community, which we are now, with all the stuff we put out there, it's probably the most vulnerable community in the world. People come and help each other. We lay out what we've done. You know, it really is on the different groups we're in. People are really vulnerable and share so much. And it's a beautiful thing to do because we're self-aware.
Right, go on then, Shaz. Jump in with the stat you hit me with earlier about your blue zones and community, because I know you're thinking it.
Yeah, so today on my radio show, BBC Radio Lancashire, 10 till 2, weekdays, Sharon Hartley, it's great, tune in, as well as OTI.
It's great, tune in.
It's great, tune in.
She says so herself.
I love it, absolutely love it. I got to speak to a guest, right, and he's called Professor John Tregoning, right? So, Professor... very clever chap. And he's written a book, which at the time of recording is out today or tomorrow. And it's called Live Forever, A Curious Scientist's Guide to Wellness, Aging and Death. And he conducted this really in-depth experiment to sort of find the question, you know, is eternal youth possible? Can we live forever? How can we extend our lives? And there was so much in it that he did. He did like calorie deficit, more exercise, better sleep, cut down on the alcohol, no cigarettes, you know, healthy foods. He did all this stuff. And I said to him, well, what was your biggest takeaway from it all? Because some of the stuff he said made him feel miserable. In particular, you know, really restricting the food because he just felt tired and lethargic, and it just wasn't particularly enjoyable. And he said that his biggest takeaway for happiness and for living longer was simply to do the things you love with people, with others, and that connection is at the heart of everything. And as he was talking, obviously I didn't share this on air because I never talk about OTI at work to the audience, I'm thinking, OMG, this is just like the sober community. This is what we do. We connect people. They share people, you know, when they're drinking and they want to stop and they think they can't, they truly believe that they're on their own. And, you know, people come into our community quite nervously. Andy, we did it in another community 6 years ago. Absolutely terrified. I was terrified thinking that this is going to be the worst thing I've ever done in my life. Not only is stopping drinking boring, you're telling me I've got to talk to these people that are already doing it. What? No, this is horrible. And yet the more you do it, the more you connect, the more you share, the further you go and the stronger you get. And I just thought, it's a sober community in a nutshell, isn't it? This whole connection thing.
We should be a blue zone. Don't worry about Japan and South Africa. The sober community is a big blue zone. You know, we're living healthier. And the community, you know, is about, you know, the blue zones is living with your families, extended families, isn't it? They eat together. They do all these things together. But look, one of the hardest things is for anyone out there is connection when they start. And that's what they lose. And that's another big thing that takes them back. But setting up stuff like this OTI and that, yes, we all connect online. And when you take it offline as well, it's even better, you know. But at least now there's this online community where you can connect, you can be vulnerable. Anywhere who is alcohol-free or drug-free or has been, they would help anyone because they know what it's like to live this beautiful life. I did this post on TikTok a year or two ago and it went viral, 3.2 million views, and there was something like 10,000 comments. And there was you had the few coming on there, you know, I'm here for a good time, not a long time, and all this sort of stuff.
That used to be my phrase.
You know what?
It's so embarrassing.
Wasn't you, Ben, was it?
It wasn't me. But I did used to say that.
It might have been Ben 5 years ago, Andy.
Yeah, but you know, there's a few people, but there was generally people who wanted help as well. And I had about, at the time on there, I had about 1,000 followers, but it went viral. My son went to school on Monday and all the teachers were like, oh, your dad's on TikTok. So obviously thought all the teachers were alcoholics as well. But, you know, there was people coming out. Honestly, there was over 10,000 comments, and there might be one person saying what I just said, or another person, oh, I can't stop, I really need help. All these people was coming on saying, I'm 20 years alcohol-free, I'm 30 years alcohol-free and drug-free. There was people from everywhere coming out of the woodwork, cheering people on, telling people what a beautiful life this is, and, you know, you can get there and you will do this and reach out. It was beautiful to see all these people who never knew me. They just come on this viral reel, and I was just there to help other people, you know.
What was the content of your reel, Andy? What were you sharing?
Well, it was really to do with basically the elephant in the room. It's to do with cocaine, but it starts off because alcohol is the gateway drug. You know, we all probably know people who have done it, but normally there's not many dry people out there. It starts with alcohol, otherwise no one else would do it. So it was like the hamster wheel of Monday, feel like shit, can't speak to anyone, won't send an email, you know, can't have any contentious conversations at work, don't want to speak to anyone, can't eat, might eat a McDonald's breakfast, Tuesday, feeling a little bit better, still can't talk to anyone, might be eating a bit more healthier, Wednesday, coming round, eating a bit more healthy, sent that email, spoke to that person, even went to the gym Wednesday night, Thursday, feeling great. I'm coming out just for a couple of pints. It's all I'm going to have, and I'm going home. 5 pints in, someone calls a bag on Thursday night. Friday night's the same, in someone's kitchen till Saturday morning. Sunday, feel like shit. Drink your way through the day. Grim Reaper turns up, 2 o'clock Sunday morning. You know, the world's going to cave in. How am I going to get through Monday? How am I going to get through the week? Back on the hamster wheel. And that's how it goes. And that resonated with so many people, this hamster wheel of doom and gloom. And people say to me, they say, yeah, but, you know, I get to a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 by Thursday. And I said, let me tell you, and you'll tell anyone this, if you drink every week, you do not know what a 9 out of 10 is or a 10 out of 10 in life. You do not know. Probably for the first 3 months even. And I'd say even now where I am, I didn't probably know it for the first 6 months, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
If you drink Friday and Saturday, and that is it, the most you'll get to by Thursday is probably a 4 out of 10. And as simple as that. Can't argue with that. And that's the best you're going to feel.
So that's what I said at the beginning. I reluctantly gave up. Because, yeah, I didn't know what it felt like. I thought I did. But actually, until you remove it, like, looking back on that, like that year that I had, that's why I reluctantly removed alcohol, because I didn't want to stop drinking. But actually, yeah, looking at the data and thinking, you know, being self-aware and going, yeah, this is, I feel so much better. That's undeniable.
You can't argue with it though, can you?
No,
you literally, you, and it's actually, I can remember when the clouds lifted as well, Andy and Ben, and it was, I'm talking like 90, 100 days in, you know, it took a while. And then when the fog cleared, and everything just started to become more colourful. I was like that. Oh, flipping heck. Oh, no.
This is nice, but I've got to leave that behind now.
I didn't want this. I didn't plan this. Yeah. And you're like, I can't go back. You're arguing with yourself, and you know that you can't, and you know that you don't want to. And I found it quite frustrating. And at the same time, you're enjoying this new feeling and this new way of living. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to keep going. I'm going to have to go for the year and just see what happens. But then what does happen? It continues to improve. Again, as we said, slowly, slowly, doesn't it? What's that saying? Slow and steady wins the race. You know, you can't rush any of this, and you can't undo, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 decades in some cases of drinking in just 3 months. It's going to take time. But every one of us on this chat now, we've all said the same. We didn't expect to be sober. We didn't particularly want to be alcohol-free and living this life. And yet here we are, because it is so much better.
We sold a lie. My story was, I'd signed up for the 90 days, the same as you, Sharon. I was going on an all-inclusive holiday on about 85, 86 days, and I was going to drink on the all-inclusive holiday. I got to about 80 days, 5 or 6 days before I was going. I said to my wife, I'm not going to drink on holiday. She went, what? We're all-inclusive. I said, I'm not going to drink. I said, something, I just feel better. What? Yeah, I'm going to have an alcohol. You can't, you won't do that. I tell you what, it was in Cyprus. My oldest one, me and him, was out every night walking around the harbour doing other stuff. Well, we left a few of them in the hotel, took them up paragliding, you know, a six-year-old, and there's things that I would never have done. And my 90-day challenge was I had to put a video on the live group. And I honestly, even then, you wouldn't think it now, because I'm a bit like Shaz. You wouldn't have thought it when you first met us. You know, we was like, don't talk to me. I'm not going.
Don't make eye contact. Who's this guy sat next to me from Essex?
Yeah, you know. And I actually went down the beach about five times for my 90-day video. If I even had the balls to talk into a phone and put a video on. And yeah, you come out, you come out the jar and you're looking in and thinking, what on earth was I doing?
Yeah.
But then it's just this slow, steady improvement. And then, like I say, I'm probably a bit flat for a year, not flat, but not this exponential growth. Like I say, maybe in this gooey chrysalis state, and I've done a lot of work in, you know, midlife. I had so many other things coming. I've lost my dad. I've lost my mum's in hospital. You know, I'm an only child. I'm looking after her. Buying out my business partner. It's not rained, it's poured, but never would have done it if I was drinking. I'd probably be buried 6 foot under myself by now, you know, or in serious, you know, I'd have been told to stop.
Mm.
You can't sell it to anyone. All you can tell them is how beautiful it is. And, you know, it's just a proof in the pudding is in the eating, isn't it?
I think as well, what's remarkable about your story, and we get messages a lot within the community and from listeners as well to the podcast, it's never too late. And I don't mean that in a rude term, Andy, in terms of age. You know, Ben laughs at me when we talk to people on the pod that are doing this in their 20s or their 30s, and I go, I'm just so proud of you. You know, Ben did it in his early 30s.
It's just because you go all like Auntie Shaz.
I go all Auntie Shaz, complete
bit patronising.
Every time.
You know, like if they were there, you'd be grabbing their cheeks.
And we all, well done you. Yeah. Well done. I'm very, very proud of you. And it's saving yourself decades of pain. And I just think it is wonderful. And equally, you can do it later on in life. I did it at 44. Yeah. You did it at 50-odd. You know, we've got members in our community that are in the 50s, that are in the 60s, that are absolutely smashing this. So there is no book that says you cannot change your relationship with alcohol in midlife. Because as you have proved, flipping Kilimanjaro, Everest Base Camp, Couch to 5K leading to marathons, and everything else in between, coaching people now. Andy, for you, it has been life-changing, hasn't it? And age, I think, is completely irrelevant.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I probably toyed with the idea. My subconscious was probably telling myself I was drinking too much from about 50, and it took me 2 years. And one of the big things that was always in my head was, what's the point of giving up? Because I've probably damaged everything too far. You know, what is the point now? I've drunk for 35 years nonstop. What's the point? And I can remember thinking that a few times. And you know, we're lucky enough, the main organ we damage is the liver, which replenishes itself. But, you know, our bodies are really powerful things. And we, you know, look, I look younger now at 59 than I did at 52. Simple as that. You know, I'm fitter than I was in my 30s. You know, I won a marathon in Amsterdam, sub 4 hours, my first ever one at 59. I've just got a charity place in London Marathon this year. I've got it on Christmas Day, a charity place.
Oh, wow.
I can run, knock about 10 minutes off, 12 minutes. I can run a 3:48, age for speed, whatever it is. I'll get invited to Boston next year, you know, and it's like,
it's crazy.
I ain't a runner. Maybe I'm a runner now. You know, I'm not running my life. I never run at school. It's just, how can you find another running? Like I said to you earlier, that's my meditation time. That's when my phone's off. I'm out there. Let me run around the trails or the roads, whatever it is. You know, I found something at 58 last year that I enjoyed doing. You know, it's never too late to keep, like we say, you become self-aware and go deep within. Don't look for all this information all the time. It's almost within you. And if you can spend times of solitude on your own and, you know, write things down, I think journaling is a great way to do it. What keeps coming up all the time and creating this purpose in life, you know, it's a beautiful thing. We're only here once. We ain't coming back. And I say to anyone, if you can't do 100 days for once in your adult life, you know, it's seriously got a hold on you. I've got mates now. If the doctor said, you can't drink anymore. They would think their life's over. Simple as that. You know, it is. I sat at a bar with them six, seven guys, and we are the product of our six closest associates. As we always say, you know, hang about with six bank robbers, you're going to be the seventh. And that's what I was. I broke away from that group. Then a year later, one of the others broke away. He's now 5 years, I think you know, Barry. He's 5 years alcohol-free now because I never did it to spur them on, but they see what happens. And all I say to anyone is just keep being that lighthouse. You don't know who's watching you, and people will follow you. You can't not mistake it, can you? Just to see the things you're achieving and how you're looking and what you're doing in life. You can't mistake the growth, you know, what happens to us. And it's just for me, when you really think deeply about it, and it's so weird, you put your life at risk and longevity and happiness and everything just through drinking poison. And that's what it is. I worked at Shell UK Oil when I left school, and we used to make ethanol. And if you Google alcohol, that's what it is. It's ethanol with flavours in, and our body tries to excrete it. It's a poison. You know, it's a class one carcinogen now, same as asbestos and radiation and tobacco. Yet we still would risk life and limb to put it in our bodies all the time, you know. And it's madness, isn't it? It really is. I mean, you're probably too young to remember this, but the mash gets smashed advert when I used to make the smash with the liquid one, and the Martians go back to the planet and say, oh, they're all peeling potatoes and they're all laughing. But imagine someone coming down and seeing us all falling about in rows and, you know, inside our bodies getting swiveled up because we're doing all these mad things and people killing people and running people over and, you know, just putting relationships at risk and jobs at risk because we do one thing in our life and we don't need it. You know, we can still go to a pub and drink AF beers and have a laugh, or go to coffee shops afterwards. You know, you've done these great things in the outdoors like you do with your trekking, you know, but you do not need to change the state of your body to enjoy it. It's maybe a little bit of preaching, which I shouldn't do, but
I love it.
It's great.
It's so good.
Yeah, very happy for you to do that on this platform, Andy.
Listening there, yeah, absolutely. I'm really aware that we are pressed for time. We've just got a couple of minutes left. Andy, I want to ask you, if there's somebody listening to this now, possibly in midlife, and they feel stuck in the biggest ruts on that hangover hamster wheel of hell, what would you say to them?
Well, one of the biggest things is being stuck. And it's like, you know, I say to people, it's like this train and you're going to go through this tunnel, you know, and you just won't enter it. Like I did for 2 years, probably. I've toyed about with it and what's the point, you know, I've drunk all my life. Just do it. Just, you might get bashed about a bit, but there's light at the end of the tunnel and you'll come out the other end. You're not, you know, no one's asking you to go and, you know, do five bungee jumps or really swim with sharks or do anything. Only one saying, if you're thinking about it, just give up drink for 100 days, you know. Don't be scared of it. You know, you're giving nothing up. You're really, really not. And I've seen, I won't say names, but I've seen some people really close to me in the last 3 months who are on, you know, 80 days, and I've just seen their attitude really change and become a different person, that person I thought they'd be. You know, I've coached a 22-year-old who comes to me one Easter crying. He couldn't get off the hamster wheel. He was a cricketer. His dad was picking him up from people's kitchens in the mornings. You know, 22, I thought, what an age to get this. And now he's looking to emigrate at 23 to Australia to start a new life. But, you know, he's a year out. It's, you know, the sky's the limit. It really is, you know. But, you know, I'd say, you know, get 100 days under your belt, and if you don't like it, fine, go back. But that's all you can say to anyone. Don't get stuck at that entrance to the tunnel. You've just got to get unstuck, push through, and especially midlife, you know, we're just warming up. We're ready to go. You can do anything still.
We've got a couple of lovely messages coming. Can I quickly go to those, Shaz, before you wrap up? Ange says on here, it feels like you've messed up your life because you can't drink anymore, but it's actually the complete opposite. I'm really glad I got to that position, and I've never known who I was and what makes me tick. Love that, Ange. Marion, so appreciative hearing this review of the need to be patient and stick with it. That's exactly what I've taken from this, Andy, and I'm going to apply it. I'm 5 years alcohol-free this summer, feeling pretty good about that, but I've been talking to Shaz about it recently. For me, I dropped a load of weight when I first went alcohol-free. I've never hit my actual goal, so this is the year I'm doing it. And patience and just consistency. Thank you. So I've taken that from this. And this absolutely lovely message here from Jan as well. He said, I won't talk on this podcast, but I just want to say how much you've helped me. I've so nearly had a drink tonight. I'm 69 alcohol-free days, and I know that I need to be patient and wait for the joy to come. Seriously, thank you so much, Andy, Shaz and Ben.
Amazing.
That's fabulous. You know, just to clarify, these are people, fabulous members of our community, part of the OTI community membership. You get to join our podcast recordings and see behind the scenes. It's just
it's
slick
an absolute shambles.
After Tom's
it's
edited
a shambles,
it,
is what it is.
You can go in, yeah, see behind the grubby shower curtain, as Sharon once described it.
It's a disaster zone.
But that's it, isn't it, Andy? Right there. You know, that's why we do this, why you do what you do, you know. Well done, Jan. Keep on trucking. You're doing a good thing. Be patient. Go on, Andy.
Yeah, 69 days. It's going to happen in the next. You're going to come out of that jail and you'll be looking back and go, what on earth was I worried about? What was I leaving behind? Nothing. And you've got so much to gain. And you're not going to find out who you are yet. It takes a while and it changes all the time. You find out more and more and more. You know, just stick with it. Patient, small, small steps. You know, no instant gratification. Just plod along and it happens, you know. And stay with the community. Connection is one of the biggest things you can get.
Andy Garwood, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back on Over the Influence. Before you go, if anybody wants to get in touch with you and follow your stuff on socials, maybe they're interested in the coaching, where can they find the information, Andy?
So I'm on Instagram, life_beyond_booze. Same on Facebook, TikTok. You can find me under those as well. So, yeah, that's where I roll from. Website, andygarwood.com, just tells a bit of my story. And if you want to see some before and after photos, you know, you'll really see some quite horrific visual ones on there, from a picture on this chair on day 7. I didn't even get a picture on day 1, and it looks like I've been dug up. And you know, we all say it's in the eyes first, then the skin, and then but what you see is nothing to compare what happens inside. You know, that's where we really find ourselves, you know.
Andy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.